Hey, America!
Start listening now!
I just have a question that I've been ruminating on and turning over and over, and I think we're going to get to it in this episode, but it's if all Saturdays end up being a Super Saturday, is any Saturday truly super anymore? This is going to be a very, very introspective, very, very mindful, very, very contemplative and meditative episode this week. Derek, roll that music.
And welcome to another philosophically troubling episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the masters of spin jitsu. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. I like to believe that all of our episodes are philosophically troubling in some manner. They mm-hmm. run the spectrum, truly.
Well, this one, doubly so, if not triply so.
God.
And we're not even talking about camp this time around.
Yeah.
No, not this time, but still, no. Saturday was super, even if we do not have anyone serving Kant.
Mm-hmm.
Kant. How close can we get? I really want to see, like, which of the podcast streaming platforms we can actually get to send us a letter.
It's only if somebody files a complaint.
Yeah,
that's true. One of you out there, one of you, we'll know who it is.
I don't think we will, actually.
No, we don't.
Not necessarily. You can let us know if you're
we track filing. All of our Patreons.
Yeah. We're watching. Sam, how can people get a hold of us to complain about our pronunciation of Kant?
What the hell was that? You can complain to us directly at 12pointsusa on basically all the social media outlets, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you complain but you still want to support us, you can either buy our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you could support us either with a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or with a sustained donation on a monthly basis through our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way. We're just happy that you're here and listening to us. But Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. And whatever podcast platform that you are on, if it gives you the option to like or subscribe or share, give a review, please do so. It helps us out. And especially as we get to silly season, well, then again, it's us. It's always silly season. It does help us sort of raise our profile and, you know, keep the show going. So either way, thanks for listening, y'all. Yeah. So I know at least three of us were eyeball deep in Quiz Bowl this weekend. So a lot of Super Saturday kind of, you know, passed us by. But, you know, thanks to YouTube and other platforms, we were able to catch up pretty easily on
a lot. Sam, as if you weren't getting up to the minute updates from from Blue Sky, whatever you had your eyes on.
Quiet you.
Between every round, Sam was like, okay, we are in round six. I can't believe I'm missing Esti Lal for this. What's going on?
Oh, I knew. Let's be honest. We all knew what was going to happen in Esti Lal. It was San Remo that I was going to care about. But, you know, honestly, I got home at 5 p.m. I still had another hour and a half of San Remo to go. So
I feel like we say this every single year, but the nice thing about missing San Remo is if you miss one night, don't worry. That means you've only missed 3% of San Remo.
It's insane. And honestly, they didn't let us down this year.
No? Okay, so I haven't been following San Remo at all. What's going on? I will say, like, my only running update is a Blue Sky devoted to the hunks of Eurovision, and apparently there are some Italian hunks this year.
Hunks in Italy?
Going on? Who knew? Am I getting this right? Is one of them named Ollie?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was actually the winner of the San Remo Festival after actually a pretty crazy vote. Basically, they have a top five, and there's votes that are coming in through the entire course of the week. Some of it's just the press room, some of it's just juries, and some of it's public vote, and it all kind of gets squished together in some crazy ass algorithm. And there's a top five vote where there were no women in it again.
Woo! Dudes rock! Finally. Finally.
But anyway,
it was a dude's rock kind of weekend, actually, except for Poland.
Poland. And we will get to Poland, okay, because it flies in the face of every mean thing I've said about Eurovision this year.
All right. But yes, at the end of the day, You crunched all the numbers and spat them out again. Ollie ended up taking the win at the Sanremo Festival. However, keep in mind that the winner of Sanremo does not automatically go to Eurovision. They have the right to say no. They got right of first refusal. And he...
When was the last time that happened? It wasn't too long ago.
Well, okay, so Mahmoud in 2019 took his dear sweet time to accept the invitation. There was a lot of will he or won't he. He eventually took it. Of course, we ended up with Soldi. But the last time that a winner of Sanremo actually turned down the invitation was 2016, when the band Stadio decided to say, nah, we're not feeling it. And it went to Francesca Michelin instead.
They said Stadi no.
Yeah. So if Ollie turns it down, and again, he's asked for about a week or so to mull it over, the invite would probably roll over to Lucio Corsi with the song Volevo Essere Un Duro, I Wanted to Be a Tough Guy, who came in second place. But, you know, Ollie has sold out tour dates already set up throughout the first half of May. So if he took Eurovision, he would have to cancel or reschedule all of these tour dates. This is a common occurrence for people who who set up songs for Sanremo.
That's a big thing. I mean, this is a contest that Sanremo and Eurovision at large, it's giving a platform for those artists who are like just bubbling under, just about to break through. And it's like those artists are working touring artists. Like it's tough to clear the schedule for Eurovision. That's that's 4 weeks out of your schedule.
Yeah, especially considering that people do Sanremo not necessarily thinking about Eurovision. They do it specifically for the Italian audience. And if they happen to win Sanremo, Eurovision becomes part of the equation that they probably hadn't really deeply, deeply considered before. Especially Ollie was considered a bit of an outsider as well. And when you're one out of 29, you don't necessarily think too deeply of it. You think you're set, but...
Oh no! He's got this whole other thing to look at. Oh, another thing to look at. You say when I look at him, I see this is like I don't know. He looks to me like if Benson Boone and Timothy Chalamet had a mutant baby, and he was from Italy. It's kind of weird. Also, Sam, what does Ballorda nostalgia mean? Absolutely in love with this. Like
I think it's bittersweet nostalgia. Ballorda nostalgia.
I love Ballorda nostalgia. Ballorda.
Isn't that drink that they have over in Chicago that's really disgusting?
Ballorda nostalgia.
Ew.
Ew.
I don't think anyone's really nostalgic for Malort unless you're John Hodgman.
I mean, that's what happens when you drink too much of it and you burp and the aftertaste kind of bubbles back up again. Oh, that's a Malort nostalgia right there. My apologies to anybody who has no idea what we're talking about, but also consider yourselves fortunate.
Oh, this is, I wouldn't count Chicago explicitly as the upper Midwest per se. It's sort of its own little, sure we can, but Malort is extremely, extremely Chicago, extremely Midwest. It is a disgusting wormwood liqueur. Love talking about it. You people over there in Europe, you people have your weirdo foods and your weirdo traditions. And here, it's a disgusting liqueur that you inflict upon your friends. We all have our little regional traditions.
I guess it would probably be online with, Hungarian liqueur called Unicum? Like where it's like this weird herbal mishmash of disgustingness that... it's both a rite of passage and a dare.
Do
we have anything like that here in Minneapolis? Lutefisk.
You would. You're like, hey, this is, you only like if you were forced to eat it when you were seven.
And that's and that's giving Malort to a 7 year old. That tracks. Yeah.
Do they not give Malort to a 7 year old.
Yes, that is. Yeah, this is not.
12 points from America does not endorse Malort. Or 7 year old.
I can't control what they do in Chicago. It is a city state unto itself. I see one note here. Covers night was fabulous. Covers night is always fabulous for Sanremo. What was going on?
So I mean, I love covers night. It's so much fun. It's a wonderful way. It's a bit of a palate cleanser after the first three nights where you're having everybody sing their songs twice. Basically, the whole deal with covers night at Sanremo, if you don't already know it, you have all of the artists who are taking part in this year's competition, and they pair up either with another competing artist, like Achille Lauro and Elodie did this year, or with another established artist to sing a cover. And they're generally Italian, Italian standards. But this year, the winning act was Giorgia And Annalisa, who we know, we love, you know, mm-hmm. two-time OGAE Second Chance Contest winner, singing Skyfall.
Oh.
And it was lovely.
Nice.
Other really notable ones that we would recognize. Irama singing with Arisa, who's done Sanremo a number of times, singing Say Something. Clara pairing with Il Volo, doing The Sound of Silence, but like that melodramatic Disturbed cover of Sound of Silence almost.
Oh, this is Simon and Garfunkel, Sound of Silence.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Not Donny Imbs.
Oh, yeah, we have one of those too, don't we?
We do. Eurovision has one of its own.
Yeah, but...
Sam, why aren't you mentioning...
I was getting there.
Okay.
What?
Eventual second place overall winner and second in San Remo's cover night was Lucio Corsi. Singing Nel Blu Dipinto di Blu, Eurovision classic. You walk into any Italian restaurant, you hear the song. We know it as Volare here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But he sang it with one of Italy's biggest stars, biggest exports, beloved through generations.
Oh, wow. Pope Francis. Wow.
No, but Pope Francis did have a recorded message for night one.
Yes.
You're...
Of course. Of
what?
Course.
He it's did. I will, point, I, you know? I'll circle back. I'll circle back.
Truly a modern pope. Okay.
Lucio Corsi was duetting with Topo Gigio. Yes.
Okay.
Which, again, if you don't the know most, who Topo Gigio is.
Add in the Pope. This is the most cartoonishly Italian music competition I could have possibly. Like, all they have to do is, like, resurrect the skeleton. Like, bring out the skeleton of Frank Sinatra, and that's it. Like,
what? A pile of spaghetti finished third.
I mean, again, if you haven't sat down and experienced Sanremo, like, there is no other national final that literally has like a fantasy league. Fantasy Sanremo is a thing, and I did terribly in it this year, but I picked Lucio Corsi, so like I had that going for me, which is nice. But if you go onto the Rai.it, like their live player, you still have clips and all the songs. They're still available. You can still watch the nights in full, at least for another couple of weeks, I think. It's worth it, just for the sheer lunacy of it. Like, like I said, the Pope had a recorded message during night one.
What did he say?
Well, basically just a message.
What did his eminence say?
A message in you know, about peace among nations. It was performed either right before or right after a English Hebrew Arabic cover of Imagine performed by Noah and Mira Awad, who represented Israel actually at Eurovision back in maybe 2008, I want to say.
And who did Pope Francis duet with?
With Topo Gigio.
Okay, came back again. All right, he can do it. He's got the power. He's got the sway.
Frankie, give me a kiss. Yeah, so again, we're still waiting at time of recording. We're still waiting for any sort of confirmation from Rai on whether Ali's going to sing for Italy in Basel, or if it's going to be Lucio Corsi, who also has tour dates in April and May. Who the hell knows? Stay tuned. We'll update you next week, I suppose.
Can we just move linguistically adjacently, at least, and talk about what happened at Estee Lal?
Oh, God. Sure, if we must.
No.
All right. So, yeah.
No. I mean,
Tommy Cash came into this as the absolute big favorite. Biggest, probably arguably the biggest name in Estonian music.
Sure. For real?
He's massive. He is massive in Estonia.
And only Estonia.
Yeah. So when it came out that he was sending a song, bets were basically on him. So yeah, Espresso Macchiato took the win. It was a 16-song national final, leading to a 3-song public vote only super final. Tommy nabbed 83% of that public televote. There's been a little bit of a kerfuffle online about the video, like the live performance video taken off of the Eurovision.tv YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think it's much ado about nothing. Oftentimes acts will require or request their videos taken down because, you know, their vocals weren't quite up to snuff, or they wanted to, you know, do the semifinal performance instead. They have the right to do that. So I think that people are putting too much stock into that. I think it just needed to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they might do the, you know, the live performance, but overlaid with the studio vocals. TBD. We'll see what happens.
I did take a look. The only real ones that are available right now are the ones of him just pouring milk.
Yes.
Gives me big like the Baltics answer to Joost Klein kind of vibes from this song.
Yeah, they're very much cut from the same cloth.
Yeah.
Well, I can understand how used fans would be a bit flighty about videos disappearing and things like that. But also, yeah, it's been like a couple of days. I imagine it'll be fine.
What's the problem?
Estonia.
Yes. The second year in a row, sending something absolutely stupid and weird.
Well, okay, but there's a big difference between last year and this year.
Sure.
Which is that last year's song was good.
Not according to the voting public.
I knew the format going in and just figured like it as someone who if you haven't listened to last week's show, I hate this. I don't understand this at all. And
not even intellectually, like
especially intellectually. I will give it a shot. We'll see when we get to the preview shows. We'll see how I feel. But right now, I think this is the dumbest thing. And I like dumb things.
And you like dumb things. You like Give That Wolf a Banana. Yeah.
I know. I don't like this. I think it sucks and is dumb. But in my head, I figured, well, juries will also think it sucks and is dumb and will sink it. And all it has to do is not get to the super final, because the super final is 100% televote. If he makes it there, it's over. Like, that's it. Juries need to sink it.
The juries are nuts. Once you get north of Denmark, everyone is absolutely nutso in the butso up there.
That's a new expression.
Yeah. Derek, I don't know that one, man.
Derek, I would love to know what you think of this song. Like, just real quick. Not preview depth, but what's going on there?
This song is absolute dog.
Yes!
I'm going to censor that, but I'm not going to go into the details.
I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt right now, but it's not great. It's not great.
Windows 95, man. I know people didn't really care for that, and it was stupid. But at least it was, you know, funny and entertaining, and this just kind of feels like annoying. I start really doing anything clever, I'm like grasping to find some underlying story here. That's all I'm going to say on that. But
this is all the stuff that you got to round out your Eurovision diet. We can't have just mediocre Balkan bangers this year. We got to have some absolutely stupid North of the Arctic Circle wackiness. They're not North of the Arctic Circle.
They're not North of the Arctic Circle.
They're near.
If your wackiness equation was, what if a guy sang in Italian?
Yeah.
But it's not like, even good Italian.
I know. There's also...
It also looks like
it's like nobody said, okay, yeah, but what about Italy? And they were like, shut up. This is our idea.
This is, I mean, San Marino's going to be looking at this going, what the hell? Che cazzo? But it's...
God, if this was from San Marino...
It would make sense.
I would feel differently about it.
You would love it. You'd love it. But
I don't... I'm not saying that. No, that's not what I'm saying.
But it would be different. Derek, who would you say, so if Ollie is like if Benson Boone and Timothy Chalamet had a mutant, who did we breed with Timothy Chalamet to make Tommy Cash?
My first thought was Roger Waters, but...
Ooh!
That's good.
Yeah, that's a better answer than I had.
What was your answer?
What were you going to say?
The lead singer, Little Big.
You know, that's right.
Even though I think they actually work together.
They seem like they'd get along.
Oh, Timothy Chalamet?
Well.
A complete unknown starring Tommy Cash.
This is stupid and weird and fun and where are we going next?
I mean, I do have to say, though, it's nice to see a lyric surpass the inspirational high watermark that just fills my heart with joy in the way that Rainbow Amadeus is always stay cool like a swimming pool, you know, has surpassed in the way that Espresso Macchiato's life is like spaghetti. It's hard until you make it. You know, it's, well, I have to say something. It's me. I have
Was
to say something positive about everything.
Was he wrong?
He's not wrong.
I mean, the unfortunate thing is it's a little too easy now that he's made it. Like, somebody should have put up some guardrails or something.
We will get more into this. I'm sure.
Tommy Cash will return in
Espresso Macchiato 2, The Napressing.
Brave New World.
All right, can we talk about something that's actually good and we like Poland?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, you might not like it, but this is... Let's talk about Poland. Big ups here.
Yep. Did we lose Derek, or are you just...
No, he's there.
Turning a light
he's
off.
Just
okay.
No, it just went dark.
Okay.
I was just looking. I was pulling up something else.
Derek's in his darkness era.
Hello, darkness. His old friend. We'll get to Lithuania in a bit.
Yeah, we will.
All right. All right. So Poland did have their national final and another favorite coming into the competition. An 11-song national final, public vote only, with 39.32% of the public televote. It went to returning artist Justyna Steszkowska with her song Gaia. She returns to Eurovision after a 30-year absence. She came in 18th place back in 1995 with her song Sama, which I think was Poland's maybe second ever entry at the contest. Oh. For the record, I don't think she's aged.
I was going to say, returning artist, I'm like,
obviously
she's not 20 years old, but like...
No, she's in her early 50s. She's in her early 50s right now.
I look like I could be her dad and she's older than me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever, you know, Earth goddess that she is praying to, like, Gaia.
Yes,
quite literally.
Yeah, I think we figured it out.
Over this.
I don't know what fountain of youth she has over in Warsaw or Krakow or wherever she lives, but like
Poland.
Poland Springs. Yes, it's.
Again, we have a lot to get into here when we're doing previews, but I'm just going to say, all of you out there in Radio Land, Podcast Land, who listen to me constantly harp on why are we doing dancing? Why are we doing this stuff without giving our people training to do breath support? She's got it! And she's doing so much! And she is on target for all of these notes all the time. Please, more like this. More like this. Please, dear God.
And you mean dear God, not just dear God, but like the actual dear God.
Do we have a dear God this year? Do we?
This might be it. Latvia.
Oh, yeah. Latvia is super dear God.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It had me for a second there. I was like, if we don't go a year in Eurovision without appeasing the dear God or the gods of the forest or something, then something terrible goes wrong. So I'm very glad.
It's okay. We've got it. We're good. We're good. We have. Yes, we're fine. phew. So she is a returning artist that it's funny because it's very, very possible that we'll talk about Norway in a moment, but her record would have been surpassed in terms of longest span between returning. The following day, her song was picked on the 14th. On the 15th, mm-hmm. Norway was being selected and Bobby Sox were in the running. They could have potentially returned to the contest.
They came close, years. Too.
They came, what, top three?
I think third.
Yeah.
Not Hera Bjork?
No, Hera was only like 2010 to last year.
Oh,
okay. Justyna, I mean... We know that her, you know, bless her memory, Lisa Asia attempted it a couple of times in, you know, 2012, 2013. But this is, I think, the longest span between performances at Eurovision. So, like, power to her.
I just need our viewers to pull up a picture of Justyna. Just the Wikipedia will do because, you know, the picture on her wiki page is from this performance. 52.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that there was a mistake.
Like that there's a typo.
Mistake or something.
No.
They said it's been 30 years. I was like, oh, I didn't know they had fetuses in Eurovision. Like,
I can't believe it. Obviously, it is not just visual. Obviously, it's not just skin care. The breath support, the dancing, there's some insane stuff being done in this song.
Yeah.
Really insane. Questions. Really insane choreo. Yeah.
She, when we talk about the show Chance na Sukces, which is used as like the selection process sometimes for Junior Eurovision and sometimes for the big show in Poland, she was the winner of the very first edition of that back in 1994. Like, her career.
She's gonna come back when she's 80.
And she's gonna look better than all of us.
She's gonna look like Margot Robbie when she's 80. Like,
it's not fair. It is not fair.
Can I also point out one other thing, which is that Chance for Success is a hilarious name for a reality show.
Just a chance. You got a chance.
Like, it's like Chance for Food or like...
Don't.
Like,
I thought it was during the Soviet era.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to go on Chance for Success so that I will have a chance for success.
Is it any worse than going on Star Search? I'm like, I'm looking. I don't find anything, but
I'm searching for a star.
We're
who knows? Who knows what we'll see?
An attempt is being made.
Star Search came up empty again, guys. Yeah.
Star Search, but the first result is always the AI summary.
The other thing I love about Chance for Success is that the way that it's spelled in the like Polish alphabet, when something's really, really rough and they zoom out and it just looks like it says sucks.
Good.
That's all.
I
this one was it was fine.
I will have a minor quibble, though, just in terms of, I mean, this is a great national final. There were a couple of really, really solid songs in the mix. We could, you know, the second place entry was potentially in the Podlakian language, I think we talked about last week. That would have been a very cool thing to have.
Yeah.
My little bit of a complaint about the song is that it was released back in November. Like, it was already commercially available. It was already on her most recent full-length album, whose title track was actually in the running to go to Eurovision last year and was not selected at the internal final level. So people have been listening to the song for a couple of months now, potentially. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's, if it's equitable to have the same kind of level playing field. You know, I don't know if other acts would have had that same advantage. You know, Poland, I don't know what their rules are in terms of, you know, everything has to be released at the same time. Or I think, I mean, she was going to win. I mean, she's a very well-renowned singer. She sang it incredibly well. The song is engaging. But she had a bit of an advantage as well, a commercial advantage, in my opinion. Anybody?
I mean, if it was in November.
Yeah, she did nothing wrong.
No, I'm not saying she's done anything wrong. I'm not saying she's done anything wrong here. The song wasn't released before the September 1st, whatever. But it's like,
Sam, don't hate the player.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm just shining a light on the existence of the game.
The existence of the game starring Michael Douglas?
Oh. No, it's the game of the business, which is just Monopoly.
The game of the business.
Anyway.
Right. What do we got next?
Let's round out the Baltics. Lithuania? We've got our three Baltics. Right.
We've got Tvoix by Catheters.
Catharsis.
It is just Catharsis. Like that's a name too for easy. That's a really good name for a Northern European rock band.
Yeah.
Our name is Catharsis. That's so on brand.
Yeah. So it's Tavel Akis, which means your eyes, by Catharsis. And this is a hell of a long process. So it was five semifinals leading to a 12-song final, then a 3-song super vinyl, 100% televote in the end there. Catharsis ended up taking it pretty decisively. There may have been some issues in terms of, you know, technical difficulties with the votes, but at the end, Catharsis won it pretty convincingly. It's nice to see that Lithuania is continuing their trend of really embracing Lithuanian language. Mm-hmm. Which they've basically done since Sentimenta. I mean, you can argue that Chuto Tuto wasn't quite fully Lithuanian, but there was still, you know, the influence. But yeah, this is entirely in Lithuanian.
Estonia really had to mess it up for the Baltics this year, didn't they? We could have had all native languages, and they just had to say, you know what, Tommy Cash, why don't you do some real Duolingo Unit 2 Italian?
Like, half of it's Spanish.
I know. There's a little bit of English. Like,
it says, por favore. No. Yeah. No.
This Go is... Is this just kind of like the Lithuanian version? This is the vibe I get. Is this like the Lithuanian version of like Sudden Lights from Latvia for you guys? I feel like that's what it's going to be like for you guys this year.
I feel like it's a bit darker.
Yeah.
Dark.
Pure rock. Like, this is a rock band, you know?
It's not weird like alt. Sudden Lights was, but...
Yeah, it's like darker alt.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely on the alt side of things. This is not pure pop rock at all. This is it's kind of what you'd expect from... They're like, oh, guess what? We sent a Lithuanian sort of progressive rock band to Eurovision.
No, but I just love the fact that it's so different from everything else that we hear. And hopefully yes, people will have learned the lessons from Aya and maybe actually vote for it in the 100% televote semifinals that we get.
Well, seeing as how the redemption story that's gotten with like the ESC 250, unofficial and ultimately meaningless as that is, that people have held on to that, gives me a little bit of hope. I had noted I was really hoping for Ishal Duma by Petunia. I really, really, really love that. But I'm good with this.
Yeah.
I'm good with this.
Yeah. Also, I think another good thing for them is the fact that they have Latvia in the same semifinal. Finland is also in the same semifinal. So linguistically, it won't necessarily apply, but certainly things that are popular, like that genre might be a little bit more resonant for a Finnish audience than it might be for...
Some cultural alliances. There,
yeah.
I should point out, though, Lithuania hasn't really struggled to qualify as of late.
No, not Lithuania.
They've done track. Solidly. Yeah.
So easily the strongest of the three.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they can afford to take a little bit more risks just because they have that goodwill.
We'll keep it up.
But yeah, you know. I think this will do fine. It might struggle in a final the way that like Goethe did, But I don't think it's going to struggle to get to the final.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, and I think it'll make a final richer just for the sheer variety, for the linguistic diversity, for just the authenticity of it. I'm in favor of this. Yeah, totally.
This is going to be interesting in a huge arena.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Even though, like, the arena in Kaunas, I think they were in Kaunas where they had the national final. It was a big venue as well. So in Lithuania,
I'm not familiar with Kaunas unless you're talking about like how much milk.
Yeah, the quality of being a bovine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Of course.
Lots of Kaunas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Boy, this thing has so much Kaunas. You wouldn't. It's off the chart Kaunas.
Who's next, Sam?
Sorry, I'm not. You know,
no, you're not. You can't.
No, let's do Norway because they're easily the least interesting. Like, not to be mean, but it's just like Norway selected Kyle Alessandro with Lighter, and it's like, yeah, that sure is a Eurovision ass song. All right,
this is a
disappointment. Oh my god, come on, Norway.
Yeah, like we said, Kyle Alessandro Lighter was a nine part contest, and it looks like he took the jury and the public vote pretty convincingly. It should be noted, our girls Bobby Sox, they did come in second with the public vote, and third overall. So I mean, more power to them. Yeah, Kyle Alessandro ended up taking top marks, 12 points from 9 out of the 10 international juries, and the one that it missed ended up getting 10 out of 10 instead of the 12. So
what was the one?
The Ukrainian vote gave Lighter 10 instead of
taste.
Damn right. We know that about Ukraine.
If you are, once again, we'll get in deep in the previews, but if you are a fan of a very pretty boy singing you a song built around a shaky analogy, boy, has Norway served you up something you're gonna love. Eat it up, baby.
Derek, I'm curious, is there something that you were pulling for in this? Because I don't know that it was a spectacular field exactly.
Oh, Derek was pulling for Bobby Sox, big time.
No.
We all know that you're a Betan stan. We know.
I mean, in broader Norwegian music scene and the stuff we've seen them sending over the years as of late, I feel like this just seems like such an odd departure for them because they tend to be more experimental or weird or...
Yeah, they
or something,
is a,
and
it's just a step away from Ulvaham and a step towards Queen of Kings. Yeah,
no, Alessandro. You know.
I made them when I saw that it was Alessandro. I was like, did we just do a Victor Victoria situation here? Is that what happened?
It's the same person. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if they're sending Julie Andrews, I'm voting for that. Come on.
She's
still alive?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She's not singing anymore. She hasn't for quite a long time because of a vocal injury. But yeah. We love you, Julie.
Liz met Julie Andrews once.
What? What?
Yeah. Excuse me. Stop the podcast.
Seriously. Like, record scratch? What? Like,
yeah. She said she was very lovely. She did a book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Roseville, Minnesota.
What?
Okay. Yeah.
When was this?
Oh, it was a while back. It was when Liz worked there. And so that was like a dozen years ago, maybe.
Oh. I thought you meant recently. I was like, wow.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Yeah, we were just at the Barnes & Noble and Julie Andrews came in just wanting to buy the new James Patterson. And...
It's a long flight back to the UK.
Yeah, well, you can't get them over there. It's like bread in Ireland for Subway. Different. Anyway, I don't know. This song, I didn't hate it, but man, we talk about songs being safe.
Yeah, this is very safe. Yeah,
this is definitely, we went with the vanilla flavor instead of anything.
Disappointing seems right. And that's nothing against the song specifically, but just like, you're Norway.
It is not finding new, not blazing trails.
Could they, which semi is this in?
The Norwegians they're in the first semifinal. So you'll have Iceland in there, you'll have Sweden up in there. And I believe one of the songwriters on this one is Swedish, Adam Woods.
It's a strong semi though.
Surprise.
I mean,
that explains it.
Okay, well, let's see what's left.
Well, I think it's actually going to be a very interesting counterpoint between talking about Lighter from Norway and then over to Armenia, which was the last song selected over the weekend, Survivor by Parg.
They said
by Parg.
They set Parg, one of those things from the Star Wars sequels.
Oh, oh, 12 points. They're so cute.
Yeah.
This is the other one that was all over like the guise of Eurovision feed. And I'm like, what, did we miss a couple letters? This guy's name is Parg?
It is Parg, yes.
Not to be mean, but Parg.
It's prettier in Earth.
It is. I'll bet. Like, okay. In English, this is not a, this is not the name of a stud. This is a, Parg is the name of, I don't know, someone who works behind the counter at a comic store. I don't know.
It's Perd Hapley's twin brother. You know, it's
Perd. That's right.
Parg.
You heard? Yaharg?
No, okay, so it's yes, it's a sorry.
So Parg won a 12 song. Sam, take your time. So won a 12 song national final where it was hosted. I'm just gonna say it. This was not a good national final, you guys. No. This was rough. Just going like back through the recaps and stuff was like, oof, was something going on? But then, Milena.
Yes, Milena.
The queen of children came and played a new song and sounded unbelievable. And it just made me think, like, boy, we put the wrong things in the wrong places here.
Are you sure it was live, though? I mean,
you
know, oh, like she
I
had
guess
like
not,
her
but
backing.
I guess
track.
Not, but
she's
but
not competing.
It was no, but it made me wish she had been.
All right,
I'm just going to say it. This is Armenia's answer to Imagine Dragons, isn't it?
I was going to say the same thing.
My God.
Hosted by a ROM MP3, so.
Yeah. Unto every generation there is visited an Imagine Dragons, and unfortunately that generation must endure it.
So Parg, full name for the record is Pargev Vardanyan. So
I was going to say, this has to be short for something, and I'm not getting anything.
Pargaturian.
That just doesn't say.
He should be going by his last name.
And for all I know, like, Parg in Armenian might mean something, like, really, really sexy. Like,
You know, yeah. Dirk, Hugh, but
I don't know.
No, keep going, Danny. I want to see where you're
it's
going with this.
The sexiest single-syllable nicknames that we have. Anyway, go on.
Anyway, yeah. So he ended up coming in second place in the jury vote and winning the televote altogether, much to, I think, the dismay of many hardcore Eurovision fans who were hotly anticipating the return of 2020 winner and fan favorite Athena Manoukian, who only came in third place overall with a song that was...
From 2020, I mean. What was that
Chains,
one?
Chainsaw
You, baby.
Oh my God. How did I was like, this name is so familiar. Why is it? And it's because it's a song that I have blanked from my memory, that I have eternal sunshine from my
yes,
memory.
Well, Chainsaw You was, you know, as opposed to the song from this year, which is Dequeenation. One word. Not
yeah.
Dequeenation.
It was all right. Anyway, I thought it might win just because of, you know, the rest. But
we got Parg.
We got Parged, everyone.
But yes, yeah. Very, very much in the same kind of cloth as Lighter from Norway. Man or boy singing about being tough and hanging in there and overcoming your obstacles. Only this one has more muscles on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really sort of like transparently, like we went for the glamour. This is sort of our Cyprus sent Sandro a couple years ago, and this Sandro. This is what they're doing. Parg. I wonder if like in Armenia, like Parg is as sexy as like Sandro. What if it just is? It's Domingo. Fascinating to take a glimpse into other people's cultures.
Parg.
Okay, we don't have to put this on the podcast, but Derek, I can't help but notice the lights that are flickering on your face. Are you watching Chainsaw You right now?
No, I'm watching Athena Manoukian's song from this year.
Okay. Wow. How's that going? Same vibe, I guess.
Oh, very much. Okay. I mean, it just doesn't feel like a Destiny's Child song. Parg, singing about being a survivor.
But it is an Imagine Dragons song, only it's an Imagine Dragons song, and you know who partially wrote it.
Wait, for real?
This is a Thomas Gieson joint.
Oh, God.
I'm glad you didn't say Tokyo.
Fingers in it. I thought you were going to say Dan Reynolds. Like, I was like, oh, Imagine Dragons is getting their tentacles in the Eurovision slime. Ugh.
Hey, there Sam, what's your favorite Armenian TV show? Is it Pargs and Recreation?
Yeah. It is now.
Have we been keeping track of this? How many songs this year has Thomas Gieson got has he got?
I think the as a man's songwriter, name just
keeps coming.
I think as a songwriter, I'm only seeing his name once on here so far. However, in national finals, he's had a whole bunch of others. Give me a second.
Yeah, he's also really swinging for the fences.
And also in terms of production as well, I think he's also involved in the Spanish entry as well. I said Leave Up My Melody. But he's, let's see here. He's got 1, 2, 3. He's got 5 songs in Melfest. He had, you know, one in Spain and then Survivor. Yeah, so he's a busy guy. Good old Jason's a busy
dude.
You want
me to sing like a busy guy?
Yep.
I wonder what happened to him.
I'm sure he's yelling at something right now.
Old man yells at cloud, but version.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sam, what's coming up? Do we have another superb Saturday?
No, it is a sedate Saturday coming up. coming up next week.
It's only the super early qualifying quarterfinals for Melfest or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, the only final that's scheduled for this upcoming week is going to be Iceland on the 22nd of February. But we're going to have semifinals starting up in San Marino and Portugal. We had semifinals like determining acts in Germany already, so we know the acts and the lineup for Germany, but we'll actually hear the songs in full coming up this week. And we now, also have
quick thing about Germany though. Is the rumor Chef's still egg. going, is the rumor still going strong that Germany has got something this year?
That is supposedly the rumor, that they are going hard for it, that they hopefully have something in their tank.
No whispers, no whiff of something suspicious happening here. What's
suspicious?
Is there nothing? No, I just mean, like, do we have anything from, like, where did this rumor come from? Like, well, like,
I mean, the fact that it's going to be,
that they have a different system this year, like,
it's going to be a different system. The whole, you know, heats and semifinal and final, the whole thing. Stefan Raab is taking control of the selection process again, and he's the guy who basically helped shepherd in Germany's kind of golden era at Eurovision around like 2010 to like 2013 so. He was the one who was really behind that. So I mean, there are a couple of big names. I again don't know the German music scene really well, but he seems to have a pretty decent handle on what seems to work. So I'm very curious to see these songs. Yeah, that too. So Germany is definitely something to keep an eye on as we get those songs officially launched. Sweden, I think a lot of people's eyes are going to be on that semifinal in Sweden, because we'll finally get the release of The Return of Måns. And Danny has just gotten up and closed his door. I think he's cracking his knuckles. I feel like he has something to say.
I have to barricade myself from Måns. No, he released a weird video where he's got like a boy clinging to him in a bathroom and they're lip syncing to Heroes. What's going on with this man? This man is going to, I don't know. He's going to invade Europe. I don't know what he's got. He's going to show up to Eurovision. He's going to win Melfest. He's going to show up to Eurovision with, I don't know, a troop of dancers, and they're just going to hypnotize you, and I don't know, it's going to be the end of the world. I don't know. As of right now,
Sweden is still number one in the betting odds, but we don't know
the
songs.
Number one
the I know. We don't know the
and
songs.
We don't have anything really competitive yet.
I mean, yeah, I was going to ask. I feel like I know the answer to this. But we have about half the field now.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
do we?
So it's around time to ask that fun question.
Have we heard it yet?
Have we heard it? No.
We've got 17 of the songs at the moment, I believe.
I don't think we have.
You know, we have Italy, we have Poland, we don't have Germany, we don't have France yet, we don't have the we don't have the UK, Eric.
Oh yeah, they're definitely going to be.
We don't have them yet.
The powerhouse of music.
Look, okay, follow-up question.
I mean, they are, but then when
of the songs that have been picked to this point, which would you say is the most likely to win?
Poland. Most likely to win?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Poland, Italy.
But it's not, Italy's not, Italy hasn't been confirmed. We don't know if the Italian song is Italy.
If that's
so my own question, I will say Finland.
It's up there. It's up there. I was going to say that.
It's up there, yes. I can't see that winning though.
We'll see. If it's kind of a weak year, you know, and we don't know that. We don't know that. I know a lot of people
don't know that. No. I could definitely see it winning the televote. Maybe. I think people just really get into it. But at the same time, love... the Germans are going to go for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Finland could certainly do very, very well. But a part of me wonders, is Malta going to sort of detract from the people who would vote for Finland and vice versa?
Is it going to qualify?
Yeah. Are you asking if Malta's going to get more than two votes this year?
There's certainly going to be a more of a viral groundswell for Malta than there has been in the past.
If it's allowed through, I mean...
Supposedly, the EBU, like she has said in an interview, that the EBU has said it's okay. There's going to be some tweaking, but supposedly it's going to be...
Some tweaking.
Yeah, they are going to tweak out, aren't they?
Yeah, there's going to be some tweaking, all right.
I think that's it. Though.
I worry a bit. I've heard people say, and I think that there's always the reaction early on, if there isn't like an early front runner, where it's like, oh God, this is such a bad year, or this is going to be the weakest year and whatever. And that happens a lot. But it's nevertheless concerns me when people are like, is this just going to be Mons? Is it already his to lose?
We can't let the Swedes do it again.
People said that Momo knew that Loreen was coming back.
This is not an endorsement.
But I think those conversations are always part of it. And again, when we hear the song, it very well might be, oh, that's not great. Mm. And you know, the tide recedes. I say, everybody just calm your tits.
They're out of control.
Yeah.
All right.
Hakuna the Tatas, y'all.
Everyone just sit down, relax, serve some cont. It'll be fine.
Mm-mm. Delicious.
Mm. Serve yourself a nice warm glass. Anyway.
Espresso macchiato.
Thank you. Yeah. Good. All right, God. Sam, please end us now. Drop the guillotine.
Okay. Yeah, again, it's a light weekend this upcoming Saturday. Things are going to get busy again the following weekend, that first weekend of March, as stuff really kind of comes to a head. But again, you listening at home, we really do appreciate you joining us as we, you know, machete our way through the jungle of national final season. We're really happy that you're there with us. You know how to reach us on social media. Again, it's 12 Points USA on most of the normal outlets, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com if you want to reach us directly. Yeah, I guess we'll reconvene next week and hopefully have more comments and news to ruminate on, and maybe even an Italian representative. So TBD, I suppose. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
And I've been Danny.
And America.
Stop listening now. And welcome to another Physicist Filth.
Physicist.